بسم الله الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله. We praise Allah سبحانه وتعالى. Ask him send peace and blessing his beloved and our beloved son Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم. Welcome to this second session of Aqidah of the Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah, as expanded and summarized here for students in Sheikh Faris's book or booklet, and that explained what that was last week. So let's get to the topic at hand. Obviously, in the beginning of Aqidah books, starts with the attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's very important to understand that attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are divided in the books. There are different ways to break it down. There's academic differences. But basically, Imam Safarin, rahimahullah, one of his books, he said that the sifat can be divided into three. The sifat al-dhatiyah, the sifat that are related. Now, it's not mentioned in this book, but it indicates it because it's such a basic level primer. There's such a basic level primer that he doesn't do this academic breakdown. He just simply gets to the point where Muslims need to know these are the attributes of Allah. How you break them down is sort of not important as long as you believe in these attributes regarding Allah. So when is sifat al-zatiyah, the sifat, the attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala relate to his zat, his being, his self. Second is sifat al-fi'liyah. These are the actions of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Not talking about like actions, like human actions. It's about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's creating, Allah's honoring, Allah's disgracing, meaning Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala active in his sifat. And sifatul khair, sifatul khabariya. This is like a subset of sifatul zatiya. But basically, sifat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that are informed through us, we can only know through the Quran and Sunnah, like Allah's descent to the sky of the world, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala istiwa on the arsh, or Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, these are, we are required to accept them and not delve into them, like the Salaf did, which is the hallmark of the Hanbalis or the Athiris, that when it comes to the attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we don't delve into them because we don't know except for what we've been told. So we have to affirm what we've been told. And then regards to the modality of it, that is beyond, because since we're not told any, whatever metric we'll use to try to figure it out will be flawed, and hence we will be accepting something without knowledge. So the sifat, Imam Safarin, rahmullah, in his book explains the sifat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala zatiya, that's to do with zat, are agreed upon among the Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaat of the Athariya Ashariya Maturidiyah. Now, some people might object to this, but this is a Hanbali Imam from 250 years ago, and others before him and afterwards have reiterated the same sentiment, that when it comes to these sifat of Allah, which we'll go through today, five or six of them we'll go through today, that the Asharis, Maturidi, and the Atharis, or the Hanabila ourselves, we all are on the same page regarding these. That is life, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's life, unique to him, not comparable to human life, ilm, his knowledge, his kalam, his speech, which we'll go through next week, Qudra, his power, irada, his will, right? And sama' wa basar, and his hearing and his sight. So these are, these are his sifat of zatiyah, of seven sifat that are mentioned. And with these sifat, and this is what Allah has described himself with, and this is what Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has described him with, so these are affirmed by all the Ahlus Sunnah wal Jamaat. And remember that we affirm the madhab of the Salaf, of the early Muslim, is affirmation of these attributes of Zatiyah and Fi'liyah and Khabariyah, all these three, right? And this is also the school of the Maturidis as well. And another place, Imam Safarini, rahmullah, mentioned, I'm just giving a little introduction for Imam Safarini, so that's before you, that this is the madhab of the Salaf, the early Muslims, the best generation of the Muslims, as Khattabi has narrated, this is the view also of the four Imams, and this is the madhab, the Hanafis and the Hanbalis also, and many of the Shafis also claim this position as well. So let's get to the actual sifat. So the first sifat mentioned today, so last we talked about the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This, there's an expression that is used in Aqidah expression that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is one. And he's meaning that he's indivisible. And he cannot be divided into parts. Whether if he's unique in his own being without comparison, there's no second Allah, obviously. There's no second ilah. There's no third, fourth, or anything more than so Allah's one by himself, and either in number, nor does he have children, nor is it like قُلُ اللَّهُ أَحَدَ اللَّهُ صَمَدَ لَمْ يَلِدْ. That's actually summarized our view regarding the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In all aspects, he's singular and one. The apologies. This slide. And that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he has, so here the question is, what is obligatory upon a Muslim to believe in regards to the attribute of ilm, knowledge? It is obligatory upon the Muslim to believe that he's knowing through one pre-existent, everlasting knowledge, meaning that his knowledge doesn't change. It's a singular knowledge. He knows everything and nothing outside of the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in the past, present, and the future. And this knowledge will never change. So over time, Allah's knowledge doesn't mature like a human's understanding or knowing. There's no comparison between our knowledge and Allah's. Not just simply that Allah knows more, but there's no comparison in the nature of the knowledge. Although that word is used, knowledge, but Allah's kind of knowing is very different to our knowing. But His knowledge is singular, and His knowledge is in the sense that it's not affected by time. He always knew and always knows. Whatever decisions we'll make doesn't mean we're not given a choice. All our decisions and all the things that we'll do, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala already, he knows it. So it's obligatory upon a Muslim to believe that he's knowing through one pre-existent, like without a beginning. His knowledge doesn't have an inception point. He always knew without a beginning. Everlasting, man, his knowledge will never diminish, right? So that complete knowledge is forever. Encompassing everything that is known, and it does not resemble. So whatever could be known, whatever comes in the realm of knowledge, Allah knows it, and it does not resemble the knowledge of created beings, as I mentioned before. The evidence of this is a statement after أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يعلم ما بين أيديهم وما خلفهم ولا يحيطون به علم. He knows what happens to them and what will happen to them, but they will never encompass anything of his ilm, of his knowledge. And also Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and just there was a footnote that I had on my slide, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is all-knowing. This is from Kitab al-Ayn al-Athar, the way it's mentioned there, one of the books on the syllabus. Maybe I get to teach it sometime in the future. But that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he's knowledgeable with his knowledge, that is singular, is one, without a beginning, forever. It's dhati, means to do with his self, that he has in itself knowledge, and it is encompassing everything that could be known. The whole of it or the part of it, right? And his knowledge is not renewed or refreshed or learnt anew or revised. This is human weaknesses or frailties or that we forget and we remind it, right? So therefore, and so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's knowledge is complete. So let's continue with that. And the statement of Allah Ta'ala, La ala ya'lamu man khalaqa huwa latif al-khabir. Does he who created not know while he is the subtle, the aware, or the all aware, right? And the statement of Allah. So these are the dalils, the proofs of the knowledge of Allah. Ya'lamu ma fi samawati wal ardi wa ya'lamu ma tusirun wa ma tu'linun. Wallahu alim bi dhati sudur. He knows what is within the heavens and the earth and knows what you conceal and what you declare. And Allah is knowing that within the breast. So these are some verses that express the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we should have understanding as a Muslim, because this is throughout the Quran as well. These are a few examples given through the hadith. There's nothing outside the knowledge. So one of the sifat al-zatiyah, the sifat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, self of being, is that He is all knowing, right? So He's al-alim, He's al-alim. Okay. The second attribute is the attribute of power, Qudra. Right? Qudra, what is obligatory upon a Muslim to believe regarding the attribute of the power or Al-Qudra? It is obligatory upon a Muslim to believe that Allah is all through one pre-existent power, is all knowing. There's a mistake there. He's all knowing through one pre-existent power. Again, He's sorry, all powerful. Excuse me. We're talking about the quality of Qudra. It is obligatory upon a Muslim to believe that Allah is all powerful or all able, right? Through one pre-existent power. As I mentioned about the sifat knowledge, that it's without a beginning, without an end. It's one. It's indivisible. and it's absolute, and there is no nothing outside of the knowledge. Similarly, there's nothing outside the qudra, the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. His power is over all of his creation. He has power over all of it, absolute power. The evidence of this is his statement, "Wa huwa ala kulli shay'in qadir," very clear, explicit, the beautiful part in Surah Mulk, and he is all powerful, all able, right, to do all things. All right, so this is the ayat is very, very clear. In Ayn al-Athar, he mentioned the qudra, that he is able with a power singularly, a singular power that exists, that is forever, that is without a beginning, and it's to do with his being, right? It is a personal attribute of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and it is connected to all that is possible, and there's nothing in the past or nothing that is in the future, except that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as power is connected to it, controls it, and so right. So nothing is outside the power of Allah. The statement of Allah Ta'ala, "Qul huwa al-Qadir," say he's al-Qadir. He is all able. Right. So the second attribute is al-Qudra. So the first one is ilm. Second is Qudra. These sifat zatiyah of Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. The attributes of will, irada. So what is obligatory upon the Muslim to believe in regards to the attribute of irada, the will of Allah, right? The mashiyat of Allah, the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is obligatory upon the Muslim to believe that Allah ta'ala wills through one irada or will. The evidence of this is statement, innama qawluna li shay'in in idha aradnahu an naqula lahu kun fayakun. If we ever will something, right? We make irada of something to exist. All we say is be and it is. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wishing, or Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not like the words don't do wanting he wills, right? So if you apply that to human being, I will something or I, so we cannot know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala without any weakness. Allah subhanahu experience expenditure of energy or resource. Allah subhanahu when he wants something, wishes something, orders something, makes irada, as it's saying here, will something, makes irada something. That will happen. Is it? And the expression be, and it is an expression of, it is an expression of what? That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's irada, that all he has to do, if he ever will something, says be, and it is. It is that easy for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Right? And also the in Surah Baqarah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala statement, yuridu bikum al-yusra wa la yuridu bikum al-usra. And Allah intends, yuridu means he intends, he wills, ease. For your ease, and does not intend for your hardship. So that means irada is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's attribute, and it's an attribute related to his zat, his being. All right, the attribute of life, hayat. What is obligatory upon the Muslim to believe regarding the attribute of hayat? All right, so answer, it is obligatory upon a Muslim to believe that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is hay, alive, through one life ever present and pre-existing. Again, the same expression is repeated. The evidence of that is a statement, Allahu la ilaha illa wal hayyul qayyum, Allahu la ilaha illa wal hayyul qayyum, Surah Baqarah. And there is no deity except him, the ever-living and the self-sustaining. Al hayyul qayyum is always mentioned together. So that is so ever-living. So he's alive, subhanahu wa ta'ala. But his life is not like the life of creation. Like our, for example, we're alive. We're alive. Where Allah has made us, obviously we depend on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made a lot of means as a thing. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's life is not contingent on anybody else. Like we need oxygen to live. Allah has made it such. There's a rule of this world. You need to breathe, you need to eat, drink, and so forth. Under normal circumstances, this is these ways you survive. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not in need for it. Well, Allah doesn't need it for us either, but Allah has made it such. Like the angels of creation who also pray and so forth and do physical activity in the sense that they do move and travel and so forth, but they don't need food and drink. So Allah has made that need for us, and we tested through that those, and we are called to account for that. We earn for that, and we have to be called will be called account for our earning and going after seeking the rizq that we need. Allahu la ilaha illa wal hayyul qayyum. Say and Allah, there is no deed except Him, the ever living. Right. So this is Allah's attribute of zat of self. That one of the attributes. The statement of Allah Ta'ala, Hu al-Hayyu la ilaha illa hu. He is the ever living. There is no deity except for him. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. So there you go. Like so the next that's the next attribute, which is al-hayat. So Hayat is the attribute. Al-Hayy is the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Al-Hayy is the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, meaning the ever living. All right, the next slide is what is obligatory upon a Muslim to believe regarding the attributes of Allah's hearing and seeing? Answer: it is obligatory upon the Muslim to believe that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is all hearing and all seeing through his hearing and sight, which are pre-existent. Right? His hearing and his sight is pre-existent, pertaining to everything heard and seen. And they don't resemble the hearing and seeing of created things. So I've translated the word of hearing and seeing. We translate it as hearing because that's what it means in Arabic language as well, when you're talking about humans hearing and humans seeing. But again, we have to focus on the part of it that don't resemble the hearing and seeing. The words resemble, even in English, we're saying hearing and seeing. That's the same meaning in Arabic. But in Arabic, if you understand that the hearing and seeing of Allah is like the human hearing and seeing, of course this is shirk, and we're attributing that something is not attributable to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. However, hearing and seeing in the Allah, when it comes as an attribute of Allah, the attribute of hearing and seeing, so are two different attributes. These are part of the seven attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that everybody agrees these are Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's zati attributes. The evidence for establishing these two attributes, laysa kamithli shay wa sami'ul basir. It's an amazing ayat, this one. There is nothing like unto him, and he is the all-hearing and all-seeing. So there's no thing like Allah's laysa kamithli shay. There's no thing, there's a negation made. There is no similitude, no resemblance of any creation to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Right? So there's no creation, there's no thing, shay. And this saves us from a lot, right? This ayat is such an amazing ayat, and you'll see it in, especially when it comes to the attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This uses dalil, not just for the attribute of sami' and basir is all hearing and all seeing, but also for the principle of affirmation of Allah's attributes, and also doing tanzih, or we are disassociating Allah's attribute, that what is not befitting Allah is not to be mentioned. We don't make similitude to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. These are types of shirk, right? That if these are shirk, that if you make Allah resemble the creation or the creation resemble Allah. Let's say, for example, someone takes the attribute of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he's the creator. Is there another creator that brings things into existence? Yeah, whatever we have, there's a camera in front of me, there's a desk here, there's a chair I'm sitting. Yeah, this was made by a human being. But did the human being say kun fayakun? Did the human being brought this material into existence from nothing? Not only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can do that. He's Al-Khali, brings something from nothing, right? So in this attribute, there's no similitude to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And huwa sami'ul basir, and he is the all hearing and the all seeing. This affirmation. I'm just focusing on this because this ayat is repeated over and over again, especially with the Hanbalis. And I'm assuming the others as well, but it's to just make a point here that this ayat is not just for the content of it, but also the principle in it, the affirmation, right? The negation of what is not attributable to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the affirmation of what should be attributed to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that is his sifat. So who is Sami'ul Basir? We make ithbat of this, that Allah hears, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. No Ahlus Sunnah Jamaat, no Muslims disagree on these attributes, right? There's some classification, so forth, but everybody agrees that Allah hears, and Allah subhanahu, and his hearing is not like the hearing of the creation, and his seeing is not like the hearing, the seeing of the creation, because the first part clarifies it. Laytha kimithli shay, there's nothing like unto Allah. There's nothing comparable. Lam yakullu kufuwan. There's no comparable. There's no equivalent. There's no to Allah subhanahu. There's no attribute that is resembles the attributes. Right, so then it continues. قُلْ انظُرُوا مَاذَا فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ وَمَا تُغْنِي الْآيَاتُ وَالنُّذُرُ عَن قَوْمٍ لَّا يُؤْمِنُونَ. He Allah said, "Fear not, verily I am with you both. I hear and I see." أَلَمْ يَعْلَمْ بِأَنَّ اللَّهَ يَرَى. Does he not know that Allah sees? قَدْ سَمِعَ اللَّهُ قَوْلَ الَّتِي تُجَادِلُكَ فِي زَوْجِهَا. And indeed, Allah has heard the statement of her that disputes with you concerning her husband. So these are the attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that we are required to know these attributes. And as Muslims, it's an automatic thing. that we learn these basics, because, like, for example, Allah seeing and hearing, you'll hear in khutbas, speeches, Allah saw, like, just that's it, this is an academic presentation, aqidah class, academic presentations. But as Muslims, the idea that we never hear our whole life that Allah hears, the fact that you thought dua, that someone hears your dua, isn't it? So it's therefore, the fact that we understand that someone hears a dua, doesn't that tell us that, that tells you the quality, and that Allah sees you. You can present to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Like, even we say, Iyyaka na'budu wa iyyaka nasta'in, Allah, only you we worship, only you ask for help. We're calling Allah subhanahu, isn't it? One of the Ibn Qayyim rahmatullah alayhi mentions at the beginning of where was it? In Asrarus Salah, the secrets of Salat. He said, like, even the dua at the beginning, dua istiftah, at the beginning of Salat, Subhanaka Allahumma wa bihamdika wa tabarak asmuka wa ta'ala jadduka. His Salat is iqbal ala Allah. Salat, five time prayers, is to turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the dua istiftah is like you're coming into the royal court. Subhanaka Allahumma, glory to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, bihamdika, tabarak with your praise, tabarak asmuka, blessed is your name. Ta'ala, you're addressing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Before you're going to make a request in Surah Fatiha and make dua, you are making this long, like it's like you're coming into the court and you're using the proper titles and addresses before you put your request before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So I was just having a look at something else, and next week's slides are going to be obviously longer, but I'm just looking at some of the reading some of the, and that's all, that's the last slide for today. So inshallah we'll just, so I'm just reading a little bit of Imam Safarini's book before I came to this class, and how regarding these attributes of Allah subhanahu, I don't want to go too deep into it, because the point of this book is not to go very deep, right? So we don't want to go too deep into it, because but next week I'll prepare a little bit more, so we have extra lesson, inshallah. But it's a very simple book, simple aspects of aqidah that all Muslims should know. In a simple way, you can pass this information to other people as well, children, and make sure that it's in your community, without, in a sort of, in a complex way, right? So Imam Safarini said that when it comes to the sifat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in regards to his life, his qudra, his irada, his saman, basar, ilm, kalam, these are the ones we read today, right? So this is from his book, Kitab al-Lawal Anwar Sunniya wa Lawaq al-Afkar Sunniya. So he Sunniya, right? So he said that that from the groups that affirm the sifat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, hayat, life, qudra, power, we read, all right, irada, will, sama, hearing, and basar, seeing, wal ilm, knowledge, right, and kalam, which we'll cover next week, inshallah. They are the Ash'a'ira and Maturidiyya, and whoever follows their way from the Ahl Sunnah, from the followers of the four Imams, right? And then he goes, in some attributes, they differ, but generally these attributes, there is a consensus on these attributes. And he said that, and there's a group that affirm what Allah has affirmed, subhanahu, and his prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has affirmed, right? And they take it by what is mentioned there without going delving in, and they will negate the howness, the modality of it, and any similitude to anything, as I mentioned now, laysa, right? So they may affirm what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala affirms, right? But they affirm the existence of this attribute because Allah has mentioned them, without going into definitions and limitations and so forth, right? So if they say the hand of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they will affirm the hand of Allah, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is a hand, because Allah has mentioned a hand or face or hearing or seeing, because these are all put, the Hanbalis put all these attributes together. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's attributes are the attributes of Allah, and he has affirmed them for himself, right? Since he has affirmed them for himself, that we don't say, the Hanbalis don't say, this is the main point of disagreement, probably two, three issues, is The main, I mentioned this previously, is we don't do figurative metaphorical interpretation of Allah's sifat. We apply that to these sifat, these seven, and also to other sifat as well. We don't say that the hand means ni'mah, bounty, or strength. We don't say hearing and seeing means knowledge, right? Or we don't do the other extreme that we say hearing and seeing means physical limbs like eyes and a tongue and so forth. And this is what Khattab is narrated from the Salaf, right? And from the four Imams, and this is the madhab of the Hanbalis and Hanafis and majority of the Shafis as well. And that they take the ayat on its apparent without making any similitude or modality, right? And there's nothing needs to be said more than that. Because what we're doing is trying to affirm the affirmation of existence of these. Since they are mentioned by Allah, they exist. But we don't affirm the howness, right? And we don't turn to making figurative interpretations like the Ash'aris do and others do, because we are not sure we would be talking without knowledge. Even though we have knowledge, we are not certain something Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us, therefore we will not be. And the Qadi Abi Ya'la rahmullah says in Ibtal al-Tawil, you cannot reject these narrations based on interpretation. We have to take them on the apparent that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not resemble His creation, right? So we don't make similar to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And yes, that is what is narrated from Imam Ahmad al-Hanbal rahimahullah and all the Imams. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala be pleased with them. And so he said. And you find this in the speech of Zuhri, Makhul, Malik ibn Anas, Imam Thawri, Walayth, Hamad ibn Zayd, Hamad ibn Salama, Ibn Uyayna, Fudayl ibn Iyad, Waqi', Abdurrahman ibn Mahdi, Ishaq ibn Rahway, Abu Ubaid, Muhammad ibn Jariyah al-Tabari, wa ghayru min hadhal. You find them, what they've said is very similar, right? And this is what we trace it back to the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, that they will not engage in ta'wil, figurative interpretation. And there's a long discussion, inshallah, we'll come back to this later. I'm just translating, so I'm reading it and translating for you, inshallah. And he said, everything that is in the Quran and Sunnah, we take it on the apparent, not figuratively or metaphorically, when it comes to the attributes of Allah, that is. But as for the Jahmiyyah, Mu'tazila, all of them, and the Khawarij, all of them, they deny this. Some of them they take as a haqiqatan, some of them that they take as a figurative. So if someone was to say that the hand of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is like my hand, and the hearing is like my hearing, and the seeing is like my seeing, then this is tashbih. Now we have made similitude of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with the creation. But if he says, for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there is hearing and see, and there's a hand, right? And he doesn't say that it's like my hand. And there's no similitude to his hand, there's no similitude to his hearing, there's no similitude to his sight. Right, then this is in the me comes in the meaning of the ayat of Quran. Laysa kamithli shay. There's nothing like unto Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wa huwa samiul basir, and He's the all hearing, the all. So even samia basir, we understand hearing, seeing, but there's no similitude to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, right? And so this discussion is quite long and exhaustive regarding the attributes of Allah. But in short, we don't do figure interpretation unless we've been told by in the Quran Sunnah, the authenticated Sunnah, that this is what it is. Else, without that, we don't know. And if any interpretation about something so grave, Hamadi sees it as being haram. Literally, why? Because we're talking about something that we're not certain about. Such is we're not talking just about a fiqh masala or something of a, like tahara masala. We're talking about the zat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala based on interpretation, and that is a big no-no. Not just for Imam Ahmad, but all the names that I mentioned before, those early Imams. This will be unacceptable. To them as well, and this you find this in their books and their statements. Wallahu ta'ala a'lam. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us a bless us with a iman, a true iman, and that we die with a proper belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us again. I mentioned this last week, that the point of this book is not to get into these polemics for the moment. This is a very small booklet, just to put the main aqa'id before us, and that we understand that how it's like, it literally is like a starter of the most fundamental beliefs. Right, and just the last point that Imam that the madhab of the Salaf al Ummah, this is repeated throughout the Hanbali books, that because we are going, I'm not talking about the modern Salafi group, right? This is one thing, and you know, there's it's a quite a range. The moderns, those who call themselves Salafi today, there's a range of ulama amongst them as well. So we don't take them as a block. There's so many subdivisions and so forth, difference among them as well. But I'm talking about Salaf, we're actually talking about the actual Salaf, the first 3 centuries of the Imams, the Sahaba, Tabi'in, Tabi'a Tabi'in, as early Imams, first 3, 4 centuries of Islam. What is a Salaf is, you know, there's a discussion around that. But basically, the madhab of the Salaf of the Ummah, the seniors of this, the Imams and the Hanabila, and whoever follows it, is to affirm the attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, right? And not to make figurative interpretation. So therefore, there's other attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For example, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, I created Adam with my hands. So if Allah created with his hands, he's created with his hands because he said that, right? So if he said that, then the Hanbali say, we don't say this is power. We don't say these hands are something else. We don't say the hearing is something else. We don't say, no, is hearing because Allah, is sama because Allah called it sama. It's basar because it's basar Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that is the attribute of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We simply affirm the attributes of Allah, what he said. We don't speak and try to guess. Anything that interpretation that is not there from the Quran Sunnah is a guess, still, because it's not based on the Quran and Sunnah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us understanding. It could be a very educated guess, but it's still a guess. And since that lack of certainty and something so serious, we can only take that from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which will come later on in discussion. May Allah give us understanding. These classes are very short, relatively. I planned for 45 minutes, but I spaced it out. It will be around this about half an hour or so, inshallah ta'ala. I think that's digestible for everybody. Barakallahu feekum. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Any questions before we stop?